Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. March 16, 2020. My thoughts on Twitter the 16th of March 2020. If coronavirus is over in a couple of months, the world will go back to its routine. But if the fall lasts longer, countries will have to unite in order to survive, forgetting any ego calculations. Perhaps this is how humanity, in the face of death from egoism, will agree to change its evil ways for a good connection. It is not diseases that I am sending you. What you see as diseases are your mistakes. However, if you attribute all your states to me, you will discover that they are not diseases, but corrections which bring you closer to me. Sanhedrin, 101:1, see lesson on the 16th of March 2020. The coronavirus epidemic has led to a global situation and revolution. This microscopic virus is eradicating our powerful and unshakable structures at the root. Countries are closing borders. The whole world is hiding at home, with the doors locked. The enemy surfaces at an inaccessible level. One small virus breaks the profitable bonds that have been built between us in order to profit from others, to exploit, to compete with each other, because nature seeks to restore the right balance, and it is therefore opposed to our ego nature which wants to use everyone. With all the high level of progress and material prosperity, we lack human connections. We cannot build a normal society and raise children properly. Nature shows, only the ego needs to be cured, and reveals the virus. This is the essence of the crisis. Human development leads to the realization of connection and dependence on each other. Trying to stop the epidemic, the countries are attempting to close themselves off, isolating people, destroying connections. By doing so, we condemn ourselves to a miserable existence, as if returning to prehistoric times. Man uses others to his advantage. This destroys the integral system of nature. Ego desire cannot be satiated. The integral, global system of nature does not agree with this and produces antibodies that do not allow a person to destroy natural systems. Development is possible only when the condition of nature's interconnection is observed. The universe and the earth, the inanimate nature, plants, animals, and people are part of one mechanism and depend on one another. In this entire system, only one law operates, requiring each part to complement the others. There is no tiny particle in the universe that is not connected through a field of connections to the whole universe, with each of its elements on all degrees. The most decisive connection is on the human degree, on the degree of thought, meaning relationships. It is what determines and governs everything. Nature is an integral law connecting all elements together and not allowing any one of them to be in charge, but only to support the reciprocal connection with the other parts. As soon as we burrow inside our egoism, we feel resistance from people, society and nature. The virus has exposed the deceptive connection of the EU member states. Moreover, instead of acting in collaboration, the EU member states are closing their boundaries. The virus has exposed the false alliance. It was only partial and only economic, since it is egoistic, but the nations did not get closer. Coronavirus vaccine. The coronavirus has already spread to 80 countries, and shows us how much we depend on each other. We are searching for the way these viruses are transmitted from one person to another through airplanes or physical contact. But in fact, they do not spread in this way but through our thoughts. After all, we are connected in a single field, and if I think badly of you, then with my thoughts I awaken thoughts in you that cause all kinds of manifestations and consequences in you. This phenomenon is known to people who are engaged in international security. The science of Kabbalah explains that our thoughts possess either the most destructive power or are the kindest of all the forces of nature. But unfortunately, we are acting using only destructive thoughts. Therefore, neither preventive measures in the fight against coronaviruses nor the invention of new antibiotics will help us. If not this virus, then another one will appear. We must finally understand that we need to cure the relationships between people. If our relationships and thoughts become good, then no virus will break through. Unkind thoughts about others or disunity clothe into the human body and manifest as disease. This is a disease at the highest level, which we are unable to defend ourselves against because we do not have power over our thoughts. We do not know who is thinking about what, and we cannot control even our own thoughts. Therefore, this is a big problem. One must be taught how to control one's thoughts so that they are good for everyone. This is the only way we can defeat all viruses. For such correction, we need the science of Kabbalah. There is no other way. After all, human egoistic nature makes us think only about ourselves. Therefore, a special science, a unique method, and work in a group are needed to teach a person to think about others. It seems so simple, but it is the absolute opposite of human nature. As we begin to correct ourselves, we will see that the world is changing in relation to us. We will begin to feel that there is a special power around us called the Upper Light, which acts and organizes the whole world in the best possible way. We enter this force and live in it, and then we have no fear of any coronaviruses or other diseases. Not too long ago, we held a large international Kabbalistic convention in Tel Aviv. Every day there was a fear that the Ministry of Health would forbid us to attend the Congress. After all, this was a huge meeting with more than 5,000 people gathering together in a big city, sitting together, hugging, eating at the same table, breathing the same air, and spending 3 days in the same room. All the air was filled with different viruses, but no one was infected. This is because through our connection we made the most correct and effective vaccination and disinfection. This can serve as an example for humanity of how the power of unity cleanses, settles and sanctifies everything. By the fact that we want to unite in a single thought, for the sake of one goal, we create a force field, each with our own thought. Thought is power. Connecting all our forces, we create a force field, which is the highest of all fields existing in the world, physical or biological. If we set this field above ourselves and want it to connect us, all of us wanting to connect with this field, and become as one man with one heart, all as friends and brothers, then nothing can harm us. This is how it works, because one's thought is the highest impact one can make. Therefore, it destroys all the viruses existing below him at lower levels, inanimate, vegetative, and animate. This field radiates love and unity, which together create a global positive force that destroys all negative factors. Therefore, there is nothing to fear. We can drink poison, and if we are aimed in the right connection with the spiritual field, then nothing can harm us. People can protect themselves by being in good contact with us, and then they will constantly receive an antivirus that will protect them from disease. I wish you all good health. From CabTV's World, The Coronavirus Epidemic, the 3rd of March 2020. Take care of wider and wider circles of humanity. The entire universe comes from one single point. Thus, the Creator, the upper force of bestowal, is revealed in relation to the created beings. The Creator is the central point of all creation. The wisdom of Kabbalah has emerged from all the attainments of the upper force that the human being has ever achieved. If we follow the advice of the Kabbalists, we can achieve the same revelations. Kabbalah is a genuine, practical wisdom that deals with the revelation of the Creator. We can only see what we receive from the Creator, and this is the basis of our entire wisdom. This is how we discover what prevents us from revealing the Creator, our egoism, the desire to enjoy, which limits us. At first, we do not feel any hindrance in egoism. Yet, when we try to recognize and feel the upper force acting upon us and to feel the barrier, the inability to perceive it with our heart and mind, then we understand that the cause is in the egoistic force, which resists the revelation of the Creator. But after correction, the force of egoism turns from evil, harmful, and concealing into the opposite, into the revealing force, and becomes our helper. By restricting this egoism, covering it with a screen, and raising the reflected light, we can reveal the Creator in this light, the quality of bestowal, love, and connection, all those properties that we do not have by nature. Thus, the concealing force becomes the force of revelation, the force of rejection becomes the force of connection, and we find ourselves standing before the Creator. At the same time, we find out that we have become similar to Him after all the corrections we have received. This is how our connection with the Creator is revealed. As we gradually attain the degrees of perfection, we come to know the Creator, and in accordance with this, we feel that all the light, the whole common soul, shines in each of us. Therefore, the force of rejection is necessary. After all, it is because of it that all revelation later takes place. If I am afraid to fall, I must always take care of the ways to renew our connection. The force of inertia does not work here. As soon as I cease to make an effort, I immediately stop. So even to stay in the same state, I have to think about renewing it every second. Even more so if I want to strengthen this state, I must constantly look for ways to add love, connection, and awaken others to feel a new taste, additional strength. Fearing a descent, I keep adding effort, and every second I feel a little more air, more taste. This is a very important feeling that you constantly add and taste in the addition. To the extent that I think about the advancement of the group, I accelerate my advancement in spirituality. By expanding my spiritual vessel, kli, more and more and taking care of wider and wider circles until it covers all of humanity, I move faster and faster. This is a very simple system. The only problem is that the egoism does not allow us to act. From the Lesson 5 of the Desert Convention 2020, Connecting to the Central Point. Blitz of Kabbalah Tips, January 12, 2020. Question: after I attain the purpose of creation and read the script of the director of my life, the Creator, could I become bored and uninterested in life? Answer: do not worry. You cannot even imagine what will open before you. Such heights, voids, scenes, and opportunities. This is not our world at all. So, try to get out of here as soon as possible. There is nothing worse than this world. Question: what does it mean that I feel a friend? Do I understand him or do I sense his desires? And how will I feel the Creator as my friend? Or are we talking about other notions here? Answer: you will start feeling both the friends and the Creator much closer, better, and sharper than now. Question: you said during the last lesson that in order to reach freedom, one needs to attain the middle part of Tiferet. Now you say that the Creator is neither the left nor the right line. How can I connect into one the middle part of Tiferet and the fact that the Creator is the middle line? Answer: you cannot. You will only get confused by this for now. It is better just to leave it. Put your knowledge aside. Now it is most important to understand what sensations we have to reach. Question: do we have a chance to attain spirituality by studying alone and not in tens? Answer: you stand no chance of reaching spiritual attainment by studying alone. We see this from our development in today's world. Question: is it possible to attain the Creator in a virtual ten? Answer: of course it is. Question: is a ten the ten Sephirot? Answer: yes, it is. The right ten in its correct state constitutes the ten Sephirot. Question: can it be said that the Creator wants to give us everything, and we can receive only what we are ready to give back? Answer: of course. Question: if I have no friends, much less ten friends, and as you said, without them it is impossible to advance, should I purposely search for them? Answer: there must be at least two. Question: Why do we have doubts regarding certain choices in our world? Why do we constantly doubt? Answer: doubts are needed so that we correctly organize ourselves. Question: where do the efforts to unite accumulate? Answer: they accumulate around the heart and form the general heart, a sack around the heart. Question: regarding the light that we need to receive, what kind of light do you mean? Answer: I mean the property of bestowal called the light, or the creator, or the upper positive force. Question: does the revelation of the creator and crossing of the barrier, muxum, occur in the whole ten, or perhaps in some of the friends? Answer: it could happen only with some of the friends, in different qualities, in different aspects, not necessarily with everyone together. It is because a ten is something different for each person. Attainment is still individual, although it happens through unification with others. Question: is our advancement toward the group always associated with the sinusoid, plus, minus, falls, ascents? Can it be said that my ascent to the next, higher spiritual degree is always associated with certain, say, spiritual labor pains, when a person exists in pitch darkness, emptiness? Or can one experience the feeling of happiness and joy? Answer: you said everything correctly, I have nothing to add. Well done. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, January 12, 2020. Why do we need both optimism and pessimism? We live in a dualistic world. Every quality we can observe has its corresponding opposite, that is, left and right, men and women, darkness and light, etc. Therefore, according to this natural division, people are defined as optimists and pessimists. One single person also can be both optimistic and pessimistic in different proportions. Why do we need something to have its opposite? Wouldn't it be better if everyone was just optimistic? Even though the research says that optimists succeed faster and live longer, humanity has to be varied. This goes even beyond dualism. When we are listening to a symphony or look at a mosaic, the differences are what make them beautiful and unique. The same goes for us. Currently, because of existing negative attitudes between us, our differences became the reason for rejections and unpleasant arguments. However, if in the near future, humanity learns how to rise above its negative relationships, we will all be able to see the beauty of our differences as they will complement each other, enriching the connection between us, making it harmonious. When optimists, pessimists and all people of different backgrounds and views come together, they will create a form that fits nature, thus bringing the world into balance. Psychological training or Kabbalah? Question: I recently returned from a trip to Asia where I studied a state of being without thoughts. In this state I began to get to know people and realized that I was able to feel them, see what they want, and what I want to give them. When I began to practice this further, I started to feel this wonderful internal state being generated between us, which was transmitted to everyone who was nearby. Is this what you are talking about when you speak about in our light? Answer: no. It is not the same. You talk about psychological states, and I talk about spiritual ones. First, when you study Kabbalah you will see that it is not the same. Second, in order to feel what you are experiencing, you need not rise above egoism, above your nature. Such psychological training helps you somehow feel others on a deeper level and nothing more. It is not the way out of egoism, and is not what Kabbalah discusses. There are many techniques in our world that attract people. I am not telling you to stop doing what interests you. At the same time, engage in Kabbalah and you will see what technique will really help you get out of your egoism, out of our nature. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, the 26th of January 2020. Michael Leitman, on Quora: do we have predestined fates? According to the wisdom of Kabbalah, everything is predetermined. Nature is a network of fixed laws that cascade serially from a source, extending to this lowest of worlds where we live. Nothing happens by chance. Everything takes place according to nature's laws. Our problem is that we don't know the laws of nature. We have no idea what will happen in the next moment, and we behave accordingly. However, while we lack perception of nature's laws, we need to reach a state where everything is perceived, understood, revealed and open, where we clearly see the complete picture of nature and how nothing happens by chance. The method of attaining the complete picture of nature's laws is described in Kabbalistic texts, many of which date back thousands of years. In terms of fate, it is a driving force. There is fate, but there is no chance. Fate is usually in relation to a situation, that is, whether or not a certain situation will happen. If we know nature's laws, the program that runs our lives, then we know what needs to emerge from that program, and that nothing happens by chance. Through the study of the wisdom of Kabbalah, we gain the understanding and sensation of the fundamental laws acting in reality. The more we progress in our awareness of the network of forces acting in reality, the more we recognize the interconnected and interdependent system that binds us at our foundations. In the wisdom of Kabbalah, this system is called Adam HaRishon. Through our increasing awareness of that system, we reach increasing identification with the causal force that created and sustains all life, which in Kabbalah has many names, including upper force, creator, upper light, nature and others. When the system of Adam HaRishon becomes revealed, according to the amount of its revelation toward us, we gain knowledge of the past, present and future, as it all merges into a single picture. Thrive Global published my new article, Coronavirus, A Blessing in Disguise? Where they needed these reflections and today that I see so many people asking them, or sympathizing with those who ask them, and it makes me optimistic. Soccer football, Campeonato Gaucho, Grêmio v São Luís, Arena do Grêmio, Porto Alegre, Brazil, March 15, 2020. Grêmio players wearing masks before the matches played behind closed doors as the number of coronavirus cases grow around the world. Reuters, Diego Vara: life will return to normalcy after coronavirus, but normalcy will not be what we know today. After the withdrawal symptoms from consumerist abuse subside, people will wake up to a new reality. The longer it takes for humanity to overcome COVID-19, the more different our post-coronavirus lives will be. The best-case scenarios predict that a vaccine to the virus will be available to the public toward the end of 2020. How many businesses will survive a forced closure for that long? How many recreation and entertainment venues can stay out for that many months? And most important, what will our lives look like without them? In my view, there will not be complete annihilation of recreation and entertainment, but there will be far less of it and in different ways. Can you picture it? Can you picture a life that does not consist of chasing assumed pleasures that almost always end up in dismay, which makes us look for the next promised bliss, only to find the next broken promise? What will satisfy us when the endless, futile pursuit of satisfaction is halted by force majeure? Right now, there are more questions than answers surrounding the COVID-19 pandemic. Beyond the obvious ones, such as when will a vaccine be found, there are very deep questions that this germ awakens. For example, it stops us from polluting the planet. By curbing flights, transportation, and production so radically, it drastically reduces our carbon imprint, improves the air quality, minimizes our depletion of natural resources, and generally makes humanity a dream come true for environment enthusiasts like Greta Thunberg and the millions who ache over the harm we are doing to our planet. So, is the virus all that bad? Or, maybe it's bad for us and good for the rest of reality? But if that's the case, then we're at odds with reality, which is certainly not a good thing. How have we come to this? As I said, it is still too early to answer these questions, we're still in what the papers call a developing story. But when the dust sinks, there is no doubt that we will see a different picture from before it was kicked into the air. Some points of reflection. Here are some of the things I reflect on these days. 1. If left alone, nature is harmonious and balanced. When the balance is broken, such as when there is an overpopulation of one species, nature finds a way to balance it either by increasing the number of predators of that species or by culling the excess number of animals in some other way. If nature seems to attempt to cull us, I think we should ask why it is doing this. Have we become so deleterious to nature that it is forced to discard of some of us? 2. If the virus is nature's way of culling humanity, would that imply that if we didn't misbehave so badly, the virus wouldn't happen? There are even deeper questions we can ask. 1. So far, coronavirus has been quite gentle with us. The number of casualties is relatively low and the symptoms are mostly mild. At the same time, we see that somehow, the virus has managed to disentangle all of our ties to one another. It is isolating us from each other, disassembling our previous way of life, yet does not threaten to altogether starve us. What does that mean for us? Could this be nature's way of telling us that the problem lies in our connections? If we were more empathetic to one another, more considerate, how would that impact the disease? Perhaps it wouldn't, since we should have been more empathetic and considerate to begin with, and now it's too late and we're just going to have to ride out the storm and try to be different when it's gone. But then, perhaps it would. 2. Also, nature, as just said, is balanced. Humans are evidently not. We patronize nature, patronize each other, and never stop playing king of the dung hill. We think what no creature thinks, that we are superior to nature, that we can defeat it if we only try hard enough and long enough. Could this incongruence between the general nature and human nature be the cause behind the outbreak? One way or the other, the virus, in its way, is a blessing in disguise. Whoever needed these reflections, and today that I see so many people asking them, or sympathizing with those who ask them, and it makes me optimistic. We will find a vaccine to coronavirus, but the question that bothers me the most is whether we will find a vaccine to the illness that has plagued us for centuries, our selfish human nature. Published on March 15, 2020.